originally, I was going to be covering for Pastor next Sunday. That was the whole idea, is I was going to cover for him next Sunday. He had some stuff going on. He comes to me last week and goes, hey, they pushed things back. Just hold on to that sermon that you wrote up. And I looked at him and go, I hadn't started a sermon. This is something I have done for quite a while now, is I'm not going to start in on a sermon unless I'm going to preach it that week or the next week. Just because God has this way of going, I love all the work you did. Here's your curveball. And he just throws everything out the window, because guess what? God's way is always better than mine. Always will be. So I was not expecting to be up here Sunday, this day. Thursday comes around, we have the 4th of July barbecue over at the house, which was a fantastic time. I had a great time. I hope everybody else did. I know I was nice and barbecued myself. It was nice and hot in the sun. The pastor walks over to me. He sits down. And I go, how are you doing? I'm doing okay, but I lost my voice in it. We're this far. That's all I can hear out of him. And I go, you're not going to make it Sunday. Yeah, but you've got that sermon prepared, right? Now I do. But you know what? God had one on my heart. And get that pulled up right now. This past Thursday, we celebrated the 4th of July, our nation's Independence Day. It's one of those holidays that we get to sit and relax and eat a lot, get nice and cooked at the parade, end up with blisters on our necks from sunburns and what have you. But we get to look back on everything that God has blessed this nation with. This nation, by all accounts, should not be what it is. But God decided to bless us. Amen. He blessed us so many years ago with men who were willing to stand up and fight for what is right. Men who rightfully knew, signing their name on that declaration, that was most likely going to cause them to be executed. But they did not care. They pushed forward. And here we are today. I say we get to look back at the blessings that God has given us. But literally 1 week before the 4th of July, we had, as many of us did, the opportunity to sit down and watch two gentlemen on TV have a debate. We got to sit and experience and watch where our nation is at right now. I don't care which side of the aisle you fall under. I don't care who you plan on voting for. In my heart, I am saddened for this country. Amen. We are not heading in a good direction. Amen. I'm not trying to speak ill of any of the candidates, but this morning, I want us, as believers, to get our priorities straight. This is something I have seen for many, many, many years now, and especially during election season. We as Christians somehow lose our pathway. We forget where we are supposed to keep our eyes on. Instead of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, we end up preaching the gospel of the Republicans, or we're preaching the gospel of the Democrats. Our path is straight, and we have these distractions going on. It's almost as if we are Peter jumping out of the boat, walking on water towards Jesus. And what happens? He turns. Why? Because of the storm that is rising, because of this, the waves that are crashing into the boat. He takes his eyes off Jesus, and what happens? He sinks. And we have this horrible tendency to do that ourselves. But instead of a storm that is brewing, instead of this, the waves that are crashing, it's people. It's politicians who are pulling our attention away from what we need to be on. We need to keep our attention on Jesus. We want to focus on these guys as if they are going to completely affect our eternity. That's not going to happen. Yes, can these guys make our lives way harder than it needs to be? Can I get an amen on that? Yes, they can disrupt our lives. Yes, they can cause issues. But that's not what really matters now, is it? This morning, I pray that we can keep our priorities straight by remembering that America is not perfect, nor has it ever been, will ever be. And as much as it pains me to say this, as an American who loves to say on July 3rd, okay, Britain, enjoy working on the 4th, we'll take it off. Our form of government, our constitutional republic, is not the greatest form of government either. The greatest form of government is actually a monarchy. I'm not going to let Britain have that one. The greatest form of government is a monarchy, and that is only found truly in the kingdom of God. That is the perfect government. So this morning, I want us to open our Bibles, if you have them, to Isaiah chapter 9, and we're going to be reading through verses 6 and 7. If the Lord wills it, we're going to have a few reasons for us to keep our eyes on the kingdom of God. And if we have the time, might have some applications we can look at. But we'll go ahead and start here in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. We all know this passage very well. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it, with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, ever forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we dive into your word today, our country is in turmoil. The world is just as sinful as ever. But you are in control. You sit on your throne of the true kingdom, the perfect kingdom. And Lord, I just pray that this morning you lay it on our hearts that we never forget to keep you as our North Star as we follow you. I lift this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I have three reasons as to why God's kingdom is the perfect government. The first thing to understand is when we look at this word government here in verse 6, it actually means empire. It doesn't mean so much republic, monarchy, so on and so forth, but it is actually the empire. It is the empire of God that we are talking about. And the first reason that the kingdom of God is the perfect government, I hope is very obvious to all of you. Can anybody say it? Jesus. Jesus is the reason that it is the perfect government. Why is that? It's because he is the perfect leader. When we look at everything that gets destroyed, we look at the family. Families can just be absolutely ripped apart. But what's usually the cause for that? It's poor leadership in the home. It's poor leadership. The father doesn't want to do A, B, C, and D. It's 99% of the time, it's not the kid who's yelling and screaming in a wet diaper that caused the dad to go, done, out of here. I would have done that multiple times by now if that was the case. No. It's a lack of leadership. Companies don't go under because of the entry-level position salesman who made a bad deal. No, it's because of the CEO who decided to give himself a 200% raise and to cut everybody else's salaries. Nations fall under poor leadership. Just last week we seen it as we were reading through Daniel. Belshazzar. Did he sound like the greatest of leaders? No. He was an absolute nincompoop. He was a child in the role of a man. The first thing that we are told is that Jesus is going to have a few names that he's going to be called. Now, this is not God saying, you will call him this. No. It's that it's going to be placed on your heart to call him this, because he is this. The first thing we are told is that he is wonderful. The word is actually pele. It means miracle. And is Jesus not that? A miracle. His birth from a virgin, a miracle. His life, miracle after miracle after miracle. Exodus 3:20, the same word pele is used. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, pele, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. How many times have you been at work and your boss says something completely out of left field and you look at him and go, that would take a miracle? And your boss says, well, I guess you better perform one. How many times do you wish you could have turned to your boss and said, it'd be nice for you to perform a miracle? And in the kingdom of God, our leader is a miracle who performs miracles. That is Jesus. The next name we're told is that he's going to be a counselor. This is someone who gives advice. This is someone in the sense of being an advisor. You have the presidents. What do they have? Advisors. They have their own cabinet. They've got thousands of people who come to him when he needs advice. In the perfect kingdom of God, we go to our leader for advice. And that's Jesus who gives us the wisdom when we ask for it, when we pray for it. He gives us the wisdom. The next name we're told is Mighty God. One of my issues, some of you have heard me say this before, most of you haven't. One of my biggest issues I had with Jesus and coming to him was the fact that everything I had ever seen of Jesus was that he was a 6'2" shampoo model with kids bouncing on his knees. He was a better looking Fabio, in my opinion, at that point in time. Does that sound like someone who's going to strike fear into the hearts of his enemies? No. But that's not really who Jesus is. The word mighty here is Geborim. This is the sense of being a mighty warrior. This is somebody who is strong and gifted in war, who can handle himself. That's who Jesus is. We all want to talk about the Lamb of God and how he was so sweet and so innocent. Ask the money changers in the temple how sweet and innocent he was. Boy, he could flip them with the best, could he not? That's our Jesus. He was soft when he needs to be and hard when he needs to be as well. He gives perfect love, and therefore, because he has perfect love to give, that means he also hates evil. We read of Jesus here in Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. A true leader of a country cannot be a spineless coward. A true leader of a country has to be ready at all times to do whatever is necessary. And that's who Jesus is. He knows what is necessary. The next name we see him called is Everlasting Father. Jesus always has been and always will be. From the beginning of time, before there was even time, there was Jesus. Until the end of time, when it doesn't exist, through the rest of eternity, he always will be there. That's a Father who you can come to. A Father is someone who can raise and bring up. He's not going to run out on you. You can always go to him. How many times have you been able to say that about your own father here on earth? The last name, we are told, is he is the Prince of Peace. He is a ruler who brought us peace between us and God. He did it. It is his life that brought us closer to God. It was nothing we ever did. It was what he did on the cross. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. No other ruler could ever do that. No other individual could ever do that. Jesus did that. These are some of the reasons why he is the perfect leader. The second reason that the kingdom of God is the perfect government is that it will always increase and that peace will never end. By increase, what do we mean? For your average government, the people, the population, when it is growing, what does that mean? You have more workers. You have more money coming in. The kingdom of God increases a little bit different. It still means growth. It still means that there is something that is continuing on. Some of you may have the question in your head, well, wait a minute. Eventually, all of this is going to end, right? Eventually, this is all going to stop. So that means there's no more death. But that means there's also no more birth. Eventually, the kingdom of God, the population is going to be what it is until the end of time. Past that, through eternity, it is going to hit whatever number it is, and it is going to stay that. So what does it mean that it's going to increase? What are we increasing in? This one I really had to struggle and study through. And in my opinion, what I have found is that I believe that the only thing that is going to continue to increase is our hearts. When we get to heaven and we get in front of Jesus, we are going to be made perfect. But in my estimation, in my heart, that means we're going to, every second that we are in front of him, we are going to learn more about him. We are going to know him intimately better than we ever could hear. There's a saying, if it's not growing, it's dying. And I truly believe that the kingdom of heaven will always increase because we can never, ever know enough about who Jesus is and what he has done for us. We will never hit that limit, and therefore the kingdom will always be increasing. 2 Peter 3:18, Peter writes, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Anything that continues to grow is still alive. The next thing that we are told is that peace will never end as well. True peace only comes from one place, and that's our knowledge of God. True peace is something that the non-believer will never understand. That's something that we struggle with. That's why I'm harping down today about keeping your eyes focused on Jesus, because when we are sitting there writing somebody on social media about how they're wrong about this candidate, as they're 6,000 miles away and could care less about you. By the way, don't pick a fight on Facebook. It just makes everybody look bad. I'm just saying. You're not showing that you have true peace in your heart. You're showing that you are so deathly afraid that all it does is push other people away. Isaiah 57, verses 19 through 21. "I create the fruit of the lips, peace. Peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. Those waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." There's no peace in an unbeliever's heart. It's impossible. They're never going to have satisfaction. They're never going to find that dollar amount, that job title, that position in the world. True peace only comes through knowing God. Both of these increase peace. We are told that it will never end. Why is that? It's because the kingdom is never going to end. We read quite a few months ago now, back in Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has the dream, the head of gold, the chest plate of silver, and so on and so forth. Daniel reveals to him that in that dream, there is going to be a kingdom greater than all of them, cut from a mountainside by no hand. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall," say it, everybody with me, "never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Yes, that was my best Sandlot impersonation. Sorry, that's all I got for you. The third reason that we are given as to why the kingdom of God is the perfect government is it has something that no other government could ever have. And that's a perfect legal system. It's almost daily at this point. We turn on the TV, we turn on our phones and stare at it for an hour because we see an article of somebody did something and the judge let them go. In the kingdom of God, it's quite a bit different. One of the first things, most of us don't even consider it. Most of us don't even think about this. But this is extremely important for any government. How do you get in? How do you get into the place? We see it all over the news. The issues with the border system. I've had many, many friends who were not here by legal means. And the same reason I heard from all of them was it could take me 10 to 15 years to do it the legal way. And then they tell you they can't afford it. There's so many different issues. But see, the kingdom of God, the entry is simple. Did you notice the word I said? Simple. I didn't say easy. I said simple. Jesus is the only way. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. It's simple. It's easy to understand. You take any other religion and it's weights and measures. Did you do enough good to outweigh your bad? No. If anybody in here can say, oh yeah, no, absolutely. Do remember, it is a sin to lie. I used to go further into that and I would tell people, remember, it's a sin to lie in church on a Sunday. Either way. But the entry into the kingdom of heaven is simple. It is through Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen. Faith alone, in Christ alone, through His grace alone. The second thing to remember is that the laws are simple. The laws are very simple in the kingdom of God. We make laws way more difficult than they need to be. I can't remember. I believe it was San Francisco. Something about not taking a bath with your donkey on a Wednesday was illegal. If you need a law to tell you that, I don't know what to tell you at that point. Other than the fact that that just means somebody probably did. And now the rest of us cannot. I'm sorry. But the laws are simple. Chris, I found it. It's Matthew 22. You're fine, dude. Don't worry. I gave him a note, and it said Matthew 37 through 40. No, we're not doing all that. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That's pretty simple to follow. Simple. Not easy, but simple. The last thing about a good legal system is that judgment is simple. If you're in the kingdom, you're good. There you go. If you are in the kingdom, you are good. Not by your doing, but by Jesus' doing. You don't have the punishment of being away from God, where there is wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth. The punishment is already dealt. You'll never see it as long as you're washed in the blood. Now that I've given us three reasons for us to remember that God's kingdom is the perfect government, I actually have the time to give you a few applications for this. So if any of you have gotten out of this that you're never going to vote, you're never going to help out with our government, and you're just going to wait around to die to go to heaven, you missed the whole sermon, I'm sorry. Go back and watch it on Facebook. No. Yes, the kingdom is perfect. Yes, it is way better. You can't even compare the two. But that doesn't mean you don't participate down here. In fact, God has a lot to say about helping try to make things better down here. The first that we need to do is you need to pray for your leaders. Wednesday nights here. I haven't been in quite a while just because work is not making it so easy. But we're given a prayer list. And one of the first things you will see on it is our leaders. It has the president's name. It has the VP. It has our governor. It has our mayor. We are told to pray for our leaders. No, we are not to pray that he doesn't fall down the stairs, but to pray for his salvation more than anything else. Okay, pray for that too. Pray he doesn't fall. In his letter to Timothy, Paul writes this, 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. I exhort, therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority. You can highlight this last part if you really want to. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Pray for them so your life is easier. Can't blame you on that. But we are told to pray for them The second thing we need to do is we need to help make this a better place. You may be thinking to yourself, as a Christian, we should not be in politics. You know how a politician's lying? His lips are moving. But why isn't there more Christians in government? I would say that there needs to be more. We need to go in and tell the truth. We need men and women to stand up and say, no, this is wrong. Like I was saying earlier, getting into fights with people on Facebook 6,000 miles away, why don't you actually look somebody in the eye and say, I love you, but you're wrong. We need to help make it better. In the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, the Israelites are told in captivity to go and make it a better place. Go, get married, build houses, build communities, make it a better place. God did not tell the Israelites, okay, when you're in captivity, this is all just going to be miserable. Just deal with it until I pull you out. No, he says, do something in the meantime. Make it better. We need to vote. We need to pray over our votes. We need to actually look into these individuals who are running and going, is this a man of his word? Does this woman actually believe this? Because for the past 8 sessions of Congress, she said this. We need to actually look into that. The last point of application I have for you is to never forget your true citizenship. When you call yourself a Christian, never forget that you are walking through this world with a target on your back. People watch you. One of the most frustrating things is you tell somebody, hey, why don't you come to this church? Well, that church is full of hypocrites. Yep. Yeah. It's nothing more than a group of sinners saved by God's grace. Amen. But that doesn't mean you don't strive. How many people have you ever seen in an argument walk away and go, I feel so much better about that person? No. Is it really a hill worth dying over? No. Remember, when you are telling somebody to do A, B, C, and D, and you're not willing to walk the walk and talk the talk as well, you are pushing them away. Does telling somebody, yelling and screaming, saying to vote for this person, did you just bring that individual closer to Jesus? Never forget who we are supposed to shine the light towards. If you're shining the light more at a politician than you are Jesus, I think you need to take a look in the mirror and check your heart. You represent God here on earth, so act accordingly. In closing, I gave you three reasons why the kingdom of God is the perfect government. We talked about a few ways to apply this. But there's one thing I want to point out that makes the kingdom of God that much better than any other. And it's one word. The kingdom of God is the only perfect government because it is the only one that offers true hope. If you are putting your hope in somebody that you get to put a check next to their name and put it into a computer, if your hope is in man, your hope is going to fall flat on its face.
Amen.
Yep. I love Pastor Rick. Guess what? He's going to let me down. I love all of you. You stick around with me long enough, I'm going to let you down. Jesus will never let you down. I really had to pray about this last closing story, just because it does point fingers and kind of laugh at one of our, well, it makes fun of the Democrats, but I'm going to say it anyways. Went hunting with some friends a while back, and we stayed at my friend's grandmother's house, Mrs. Donna White. Donna was the wife of Pastor White out in Austin, at the Austin First Baptist for many, many years. And she shared this story of this gentleman that she helped lead to Christ. They had been attending church together for years. He was one that was always right there. And then he would go back to his other God, politics. And he would go into a rant and rave about the Democrats and how he's doing this and how he's doing that. Finally, Donna shared with us, she goes, I had enough. She goes, I don't know why I did it, but it worked. She goes, I just looked at him, I stopped him, and I said, do you want to spend eternity in hell with Democrats? Needless to say, the man was saved the very next day. Here's the truth. Do you want to spend eternity in hell with Democrats, Republicans, independents, communists, socialists? Without Jesus, you will. Jesus is the only way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the kingdom that you built. The kingdom of which you are the cornerstone, Lord. As our world is just all over the place, we don't know who's going to be stepping in as president in January. We don't know any of this, but we know this much. Your kingdom is the kingdom we need to always keep our eyes on, because it is your kingdom that is perfect, your kingdom that is without fault or blemish. Lord, as we get closer and closer and tensions get higher and higher, may our hearts never wander from you. May our eyes always remain on you. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you very much, Josh. We all appreciate